He said lots of nice things. I want you to know this is Pastor Appreciation Month, and we have some awesome pastors in our church that we really need to appreciate. I want you to know also that it's not scriptural to have Pastor Appreciation Month. We need to appreciate them every day. Amen. Be sure and hug them and love them and tell them how much they mean to you. Amen. I told Joe this week that I had a surprise for him. Those of you that know me, I'll introduce myself. I'm dressed up. My name is Steve. I had several people come to me this morning and ask who I was. I want to share with you this morning, and wow, I told Joe this morning I had more points than a porcupine, so I need to get started here. I want to share this morning a vision that the Lord gave me earlier this month. It was during a worship service, and the Lord gave me a picture in my mind, and what I saw was a stone, and it was in the water. The stone was protruding out of the water, and I could tell that the water was a river. You could see the current going around the stone. And what I saw in this picture, the stone wasn't a large stone, but it was obviously in shallow water. And after the Lord showed me this picture, I said, well, Lord, what are you showing me? And before I go any further, I do need to say this. I say that I got a vision. You know, I got a picture in my mind. And you know, we're God's sheep. And if you're one of God's sheep, He speaks to you. And it's just how God sometimes speaks to me is He gives me pictures in my mind. And then I ask Him what those pictures are. It's kind of fun, you know. It's really not spiritual and spooky. It's just the way God speaks to us sometimes. But anyway, as I asked the Lord what He was showing me, He quickened to me that the stone that I saw was representing Faith Community Church. And the water that I saw was actually a river, and it was the river of God. I want you to know, Faith Community Church, you are in the river of God. Amen? The river of God is flowing around us right now. And as He began to quicken these things to me, He also gave me several scriptures. When the Lord gives me a vision or gives me a picture, oftentimes it's a catalyst which drives me into the Word, and I begin to look at what God is saying to me exactly. There are three times that the river of God is referenced in Scripture, and those three times are in Revelation 22, Psalms 1, and Ezekiel 47. This morning I want to focus on Ezekiel 47 because I think that the Lord gave me three things for this particular church that He wants to share with us this morning. And those three things are, number one, God has an invitation for each of us. God has an invitation. He's going to invite us this morning, okay? Number two is that God wants to place a call upon each of us. And I want you to know all of you are already called, okay? You're called to be saints. You've been sanctified, set aside by God, and you have a calling upon your life to be a holy one. You are chosen by God, and you are called by God, each of us. But He wants to place a little further calling upon us this morning. And the third thing that I felt like the Lord had was that He has a caution for us, okay? It's not a rebuke. It's just a caution. So let's go to Ezekiel, the 47th chapter. And I'm going to read 12 verses, and then we're going to go back and look those verses over again and just draw some things that the Lord would say to us. Beginning in verse 1, it says, and this is a vision that Ezekiel, the prophet, got. It says, then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing under the right side of the temple, the south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside of the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. Do you see the difference between the vision that he got and the one I got? Mine was just minuscule, you know. God gives me these mini-second visions, and then he just packs thousands of things in it, you know. Ezekiel, on the other hand, wow, it'd take me months to get through everything that he saw. It goes on, and it says, and when the man went out to the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and the water came up to his ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the water came up to his knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and he brought me through the water, and it came up to his waist. In verse 5, again, he measured 1,000 cubits, and the river was that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. And he said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. And when I returned there along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. And he said to me, this water flows towards the eastern region and goes down into the valley. It enters the sea. And when it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And then he said to me, this water flows toward... Oh, I already read that. Verse 9. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the river goes will live. And there will be very great multitude of fish because these waters go there. For they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. It shall be that fishermen will stand by it from the Engadi to the Engilim. And they will be places for spreading their nets, and the fish will be the same kinds as the fish of a great sea, exceedingly many. But its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. And along the bank of the river on this side that will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month, because their waters flow from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be food and their leaves for medicine. How many of you are enjoying being in the river of God? There are some benefits when we are in the river of God. In the river of God, all of these things that Ezekiel saw are available to us, the people of God. Now, let's go to John, the 7th chapter. And this is where I've got the picture of my wife. She's saying no. In John, the 7th chapter, in verse 37, it says, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. What do you suppose, or where do you suppose that river comes from that's going to flow out of our heart? It's the same river that's mentioned in Revelation, the 22nd chapter, verses 1 and 2. It's the river of God that's flowing from the temple that Ezekiel saw. It's the river of God that we're going to read about a little later in Revelation 22. But he goes on and he says something else. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. The Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So as Jesus spoke about this river that's going to flow from our hearts, that as he talks about the river of God that's going to come from us, he was speaking of the Spirit of God. So that river that I saw that was going around that stone was the Spirit of God moving, flowing. And that same Spirit flows in this church. It's the Spirit of God that flows in our church, okay? That flows in our life. It's the same Spirit of God that gives us life, that gives us healing. It's that spirit that moves in the church. Now let's go back to Ezekiel. And I want to read verses 3 through 5 again. And it says, "And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters, and the waters came up to my ankles." So we see certain depths of this river. And I understand that a cubit equals about 19 inches. And I did a little math. I think that 1,000 cubits equals 1,583.333333333 feet. And I'm going to round down. My wife told me that's incorrect to do, but I'm going to round down to 1,500, okay? So at 1,500 feet, we're ankle deep in the river of God. That's where I saw the stone. And don't become offended. I'm going to refer to this a little later. It's okay. We're in the river of God. We're ankle deep. At 3,000 feet, knee deep. At 4,500 feet, waist deep. At 6,000 feet, people, we're going to have to swim. Okay? And here's the invitation of the Father. I want to take you swimming. I want to take you deeper. Okay? God wants us to come into the depths of who He is and everything about Him. The invitation this morning from God is that He wants to take us deeper. Now, before I say any more about that, I was reminded when I read this text of Scriptures that God has already spoken to us in a number of times, and He's given us invitations. One of the invitations Lori Pyle shared, and it's been some time ago, but you know what? The word of the Lord is not going to return void to Him. He wants to accomplish His word when He speaks it to us. And sometimes our time frame isn't God's time frame. We want God to do it right now. Okay? But He's so merciful and long-suffering and gracious. And He waits upon us and He encourages us. And God wants to encourage us this morning. What Lori shared, and I'm just going to give you the context of it, is he saw Jesus and Jesus was moving up the side of a mountain. There was a green pasture below Him and we were in that pasture. And what Jesus said was, "It's okay, that pasture's good, but I'm going up. There's more. There's a greener, deeper pasture that I want to take you to." Joe's just I haven't finished yet. we've been looking at Psalms 23, and seasonally a shepherd would take his sheep to the highlands because it would get in summertime the lowlands would become, you know, there would be a drought and the grass wouldn't be very good. So we'd take them to greener grass. So seasonally, God wants to move us, okay? And I believe this is a season that God wants to take us deeper. He wants to take us to greener pastures. He wants to take us to deeper waters. I was reminded also that God gave me a vision some time ago, and the vision that He gave me was a wine keg, and there was a tapper in it, and I saw somebody drawing a glass of wine. And then immediately the scene changed and I saw a hand come into the picture with a large mallet and wham, hit that wine keg and just disintegrated it. And then the scene changed again, and what I saw was a scene from Ireland where I was standing on a hillside and I could see lush green pastures endlessly before me. And when I asked the Lord, "Lord, what are you showing me?" He said, "Steve, right now my church is drawing from my new wine, my spirit, in small amounts. But I want to break them out of the wineskin that they are in and take them into the vastness of my kingdom." He wants to take us into those lush pastures that lie before us. He wants to take us into the depth of His kingdom and everything that His Spirit is doing in the earth today. He wants us to experience those things. And it's Ezekiel seeing the depth of this river, understanding that it's the flow of the Spirit of God. God is giving us an invitation today to come into those waters, to come into the midst of that river, to come to a place where we can't walk any longer, where we have to swim in His flow. He wants to take us in every area of our life to deeper waters. Prayer. He wants to take us deeper into prayer. He wants to take us deeper into the understanding and experience of His divine nature. He wants to take us deeper into His righteousness and into His holiness. God wants to take us deeper into our experience of worship. And Joe said this morning, worship isn't a style. Okay, first service, they sing hymns. You know what? They worship God in spirit and truth. So it isn't a style, but there is a deeper place that God can take us. In 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter and verse 17, it says that the Lord is a spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. God wants to take us into a tremendous liberty in our experience of worship. He wants to take us deeper. God wants to take us deeper into our experience of His love for us. Let's go to Psalms 1, and I'm just going to begin in verse 3. It says, He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. David was seeing the same river that Ezekiel did, the same river that's mentioned in Revelation, the 22nd chapter. He saw that river, and he saw trees planted beside it. You are the planting of the Lord. You are planted beside His river, and God wants you to take your roots and run them into that water, because it's in that water that you're going to receive life. It's in that water that you're going to experience the love of God. In Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, in verse 17, the Bible tells us that we are to be rooted and grounded in the love of God. Take your roots and run them into the river, because you're going to experience the love of God in a greater measure. And He doesn't ever run out. You'll never experience the depth, the width, the height that God has for you in His love. You know, I had a hard time deciding what to talk about this morning. I was really wanting to talk about love. I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, God loves you. Man, He loves you. Jesus loves you. The simplicity of that song, you know, Jesus loves the little children. The depth. Wow, we'll never understand it. Jesus loves us. But God wants to take us into a deeper revelation of who He is. And more than anything else, God wants to take you into a more intimate relationship with His Son Jesus. He wants to take you to the depths of intimacy with His Son. Back to Ezekiel 47, in verses 6 through 8, and I'm just going to start in 7. It says, When I returned there along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. And then he said to me, This water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the valley. It enters the sea, and when it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. Let's go to Revelation, the 22nd chapter. In Revelation 22, in verse 1, it says, And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its streets and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. I want you to know in the river of God, life flows. And God is inviting us this morning to dip our cups in and get a cup of life and drink it. Both the Spirit and the church is saying, come. Come and drink of the life of the river of God that He has to offer us. And in this same river is healing. It says it's healing for the nations. It's healing for the Gentiles. That's who we are. God offers healing in this river. Not only physical healing, but spiritual healing. And healing for our souls. It's in this river. It's in the flow of the Spirit of God that it's offered to us. Now, we've heard the invitations. It goes on. And it's in verse 9, it says, and it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the river goes will live, and there will be very great multitude of fish, because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. And it goes on to say that their fishermen will be beside this river, and they're going to have their nets spread out, and they're going to bring in all kinds of different kinds of fish, every tongue, every tribe, every nation. Jesus is having an ingathering of the harvest in the last days. And He is putting a call upon His church, this church, Faith Community, to be fishers of men. God is calling each of us to be fishers of men. And He's going to bring every kind of fish in. And when they come in, they're going to be healed. Remember, God has spoken to us and He's said that this is a storehouse. He desires this church to be a storehouse to bring in His harvest. And the harvest that comes in is going to be damaged. And they're going to need to be healed. And it's going to be in this river that they're going to be healed. That they're going to be touched. And guess what? You get to be the fishermen that bring them in. In the beginning of Jesus' ministry, as He sought disciples, He saw Peter and His buddies out in the boat, and they were fishing. They'd been fishing all night. They didn't catch anything. That's my story. I fish all night. I don't catch anything, you know? And so Jesus says, hey, guys, throw your net on the other side of the boat. Well, Peter's a fisherman. That's not going to work, Jesus. Who are you? You know, I'm a fisherman. So they throw their net on the other side of the boat, and they got so many fish in it that the net broke trying to get it in. But at the end of His ministry, before He ascended unto heaven, He stood on the bank after He'd been crucified, after He'd died, after He'd been resurrected. And where were the disciples? Out fishing. You know? Let's go fishing, guys. And He said, throw your net on the other side of the boat. And they did. And the Bible says that they couldn't hardly bring the net in because there were so many fish in it. But you know what? The net didn't break. In the end gathering, in the end times, Jesus is going to bring into His kingdom and into His church everyone whom He has chosen before the foundations of the earth was even made. He's going to bring them in, and the net's not going to break. And you're the fishermen. You're the fishers of men that get to bring them in. Okay? There's the call. Verse 11. It says, but its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. Now I want to share with you a caution. Okay? And hear me out. Hear me out. I want you to know that Faith Community, that God has done some tremendous things here. God has done some good things. But God cautions us not to camp out around the good things that He's done in the past. But be ready to move on into His flow. I was reminded of the disciples that went up with Jesus on what they call Mount Transfiguration in Matthew, the 17th chapter. He took Peter and James and John up with him, and here comes Elijah and Moses to visit with Jesus. Jesus is transfigured, and what was Peter's response? Let's build a tabernacle. Let's camp out here, guys. This is it. No. The Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I love. And they went on. Okay. Jesus said in Matthew, the 5th chapter, in verses 17 and 18, that he did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. You know that he added to the law then? He said, you know, if somebody has committed adultery, the Old Testament, the law says you're supposed to stone them to death. But I tell you this, a man who looks at a woman and lusts in his heart has already committed adultery. He added to it. He kept going. God wants to add to the good things that he's already done here. It's called progressive revelation, if I could use that terminology. Okay? Because God gives us revelation and then progresses in it. He doesn't take it, wad it up, and throw it away. Well, that didn't work. No, he begins to add to. He fulfills and adds to what he's already done. And God has done tremendous things in this church. Now he wants to add to them. But he cautions us not to camp out around the things that have happened in the past. It's our human nature. I've experienced some outpourings of the Spirit. I've experienced some times when the presence of God and his measure has been tremendous. And it's my nature to try to recreate that. But gosh, I wish I could get that to happen again. And that isn't the way God works, okay? He wants us to be ready to go to the depths, to go to a place where we have to swim, and it's going to be the flow of the Spirit that leads us and guides us. One more thing that I want to say, it's good to have the memories. It's good to look back and see what God's done in faith community and in your personal life. David, before he went to meet Goliath, remembered that God had given him the bear and the lion. Okay? So those are things to put in our belt and remember, but not to camp out around. Let's go to verse 12, Ezekiel 47. I'm going to wrap this up. It says, along the bank of the river on this side and on that will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither. Their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be food and their leaves for medicine. You are the planting of God. And you're going to be healing for those that God brings into this church. You're going to be the food for those that God brings into this church. Jesus came and he offered himself up as a sacrifice for us. And what he asks us to do is to offer ourselves a living sacrifice to him. That's just our reasonable service. That's our worship, okay? And when you do that, and when God brings somebody into your path, you are going to be the food that they need. You're going to be the healing that they need. That's God's plan. And the only way that it's going to work is if we're in the river. Because we're going to have to get the life that we give to others from the river of God. We're going to have to get the healing that we give to others from the river of God. And God wants to take us deeper. So we've got an invitation this morning. Let's go swimming. Let's go as deep as God can take us, all right? We've got a call. God's calling us to be fishers of men. We've got a caution. Let's not camp out around the things that's happened in our past, but look forward to what God wants to do in the future. And finally, there are so many benefits in the river of God. We don't have time to look at all of them this morning. Amen. God wants to give you life and life more abundantly. That's the life that Jesus was talking about in John the 10th chapter. Life and life more abundantly. Let me pray for you, and then I'm going to give it over to Joe. Father, I thank you that you love us so much that you speak to us, Lord, that you've given us ears to hear your voice, that you've given us eyes that we might see who you are. Father, I thank you that you've let us experience your love. And Father, our cry is, we want more. Lord, we want more of you. We want more of everything that you are, Jesus. We want more of your love. We want more of your power. Father, we want to come into a deeper, more intimate relationship with your Son, Jesus. And Lord, we want to experience everything that you have for us as individuals and for this church faith community. Father, I pray that you would give us boldness to be fishers of men. Father, I pray that you would begin to bring people into our path, Lord, that we might speak to and that they might see you and your glory and your goodness and your salvation, Father. Father, I pray that you would bring people into this storehouse and that you would heal them. Father, I pray that you would be glorified because you are worthy. You are the only one worthy, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hear the word of the Lord. Don't just hear it. Let's apply it in our life, because application is everything, isn't it? I don't know what you heard today. I know what I heard for me, personally, because I'm a camper. How many campers? I'm a camper. I'm real bad about camping out. Real bad about that. Boy, God does something. I want to camp out there. The Lord spoke to me this morning, Joe, keep your tent peg shallow. Keep your tent peg shallow. Don't get stuck. This is about growth. God didn't save you to leave you the way you are. He saved you for you to grow and to mature. You're not going to be the same as you were last year or the year before. The more you move into His presence, the more God's going to begin to shape you and conform you into His image. That's what growth is all about, isn't it? And that swimming thing, how many of you here do not swim? You can't swim. I know my wife's going to raise her hand. She can't swim. I love to take her out into the deep water sometime, and I hold on to her. She always tells me, don't let me go. I said, honey, my feet are on the ground. See, as long as she can touch the bottom, she's fine. Is that why we don't go deeper? Because once you leave the bottom, you don't have as much control anymore. Now, you can be a great swimmer, but it's still a different kind of feeling, isn't it? God's wanting to take us, and there's a reluctance to move that way, because I'm like, if you're like me, I like to keep my feet on the ground. I don't like that. But that's what God's wanting to do. He's wanting to call us to get wet today and to know Him in an intimate way like you never have before. Do not be content to stay where you are. That's complacency. That's lukewarmness. God wants us to move into fresh, new places. I call that, Steve, progressive freshness. Progressive freshness. That's the God we serve. Amen? How many of you are stale? You're eating old bread. You've eaten it for years. God wants to give you more. You know how God's given me more? He's given me you. You're my more. Because I never saw it coming. You're my more. You know what the cry of my heart is in this sermon? I want to be food and medicine. I want to be food and medicine for people I come in contact with. They're coming every day. And if we're stale and camped out, we'll never be able to touch their lives. So it's our opportunity today. Nathaniel, Mariah, thank you for being food and medicine and being willing, because you're stepping out into some deep water. A lot of uncertainty. But that's where God wants us to go, isn't it? Anybody else need to do that? Get ready. We just need to be willing, remember? We're going to come to this table this morning as we close this service, and we're going to partake of the bread and the cup. This is where it all began for us, isn't it? Where we took the bread and we drank the cup and we realized that God atoned for all of our sins. See, this is where you got to start with His love. There's nothing greater. I'm not saying that's shallow, because that's not shallow. That's deep, because I'm still unwrapping that table there. It's still, there's so much there I still don't understand. But God says, if you'll just meet me there, I'm going to take you to places you've never been. But that's where it begins, with His own brokenness for us. He substituted. This is too big for me. This is deep water for me. He substituted my sin for His righteousness. Why? So I can camp out? So I can stay where I am? No, it's going to push me forward. I'm 65 years old. I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. There's deeper water yet. You're part of that for me. In fact, God used, you ever been at a pool where somebody pushed you into deep water? God used you to push me into the deep water again, because I was willing to get out and go sit in a lawn chair somewhere called retirement. No. No. I'm not going to stop swimming till the day He takes me home. How about you? Will you commit to that with me? Do you realize there's nothing impossible? The limits are incredible. Don't limit God. It's not your capacity, it's His. Father, as we prepare to come to this table this morning, we take this bread, we dip it in the cup, and we remember what You've done for us. You have redeemed us. You have saved us. We're totally, utterly forgiven. The slate has been wiped clean. But it's not just so we can say we're saved, but Lord, it's so we can move into Your workmanship and go to the places You've designed for us, that You have predestined for us to walk in, works that You have stored up for us. But we'll never go there if we camp out. We're made to be on the move, Lord. Help us. Make us food and medicine this week, wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you as you come to the table, dip the bread in the cup, come down the center aisle, and then make your way back up the side aisle to your seat. God bless you as you come.